mine eyes with grief behold. Into our room of bliss thus high advanced, creatures of other mold, earth-born perhaps, not spirits, yet to heavenly spirits bright little inferior, whom my thoughts pursue with wonder and could love. So lively shines in them divine resemblance, and such grace the hand that formed them on their shape hath poured. Ah, gentle pair, ye little think how nigh your change approaches, when all these delights will vanish and deliver ye to woe. More woe, the more you taste is now of joy. Happy, but for so happy, ill secured long to continue. And this high seat your heaven, ill fenced for heaven to keep out such a foe as now is entered. Yet no purposed foe to you whom I could pity thus forlorn, though I unpitied. League with you I seek, and mutual amity so strait, so close, that I with you must dwell, or you with me henceforth. My dwelling haply may not please like this fair paradise your sense, yet such accept your maker's work. He gave it me, which I as freely give. Hell shall unfold to entertain you to her widest gates and send forth all her kings. There will be room, not like these narrow limits, to receive your numerous offspring. If no better place, thank him who puts me loath to this revenge on you who wrong me not, for him who wronged. And should I at your harmless innocence melt, as I do, yet public reason just, honor an empire with revenge enlarged, by conquering this new world, compels me now to do what else, though damned, I should abhor. So spake the fiend, and with necessity, the tyrant's plea, excused his devilish deeds. Then from his lofty stand on that high tree, down he alights among the sportful herd of those four-footed kinds, himself now one, now other, as their shape served best his end, nearer to view his prey, and unespied to mark what of their state he more might learn by word or action marked. About them round a lion, now he stalks with fiery glare, then as a tiger, who by chance hath spied in some purlieu two gentle fawns at play, straight couches close, then rising, changes oft his couchant watch, as one who chose his ground, whence rushing, he might surest seize them both, gripped in each paw. When Adam, first of men, to first of women Eve, thus moving speech, turned him all ear to hear new utterance flow. Sole partner, and sole part of all these joys, dearer thyself than all. Needs must the power that made us and for us this ample world be infinitely good, and of his good as liberal and free as infinite, that raised us from the dust and placed us here in all his happiness, who at his hand have nothing merited, nor can perform aught whereof he hath need. He who requires from us no other service than to keep this one, this easy charge, of all the trees in paradise that bear delicious fruit so various, not to taste that only tree of knowledge, planted by the tree of life, so near grows death to life. Whate'er death is, some dreadful thing, no doubt. For well thou knowest God hath pronounced it death, to taste that tree, the only sign of our obedience left among so many signs of power and rule conferred upon us, and dominion given over all other creatures that possess earth, air, and sea. Then let us not think hard one easy prohibition, who enjoy free leave so large to all things else, and choice unlimited of manifold delights. But let us ever praise him, and extol his bounty, following our delightful task to prune these growing plants and tend these flowers, which, were it toilsome, yet with thee were sweet. To whom thus Eve replied, O thou for whom and from whom I was formed, flesh of thy flesh, and without whom am to no end, my guide and head, what thou hast said is just and right. For we to him indeed all praises owe, and daily thanks, I chiefly who enjoy so far the happier lot, enjoying thee preeminent by so much odds, while thou like consort to thyself canst nowhere find. That day I oft remember, when from sleep I first awaked, and found myself reposed under a shade on flowers, much wondering where and what I was, whence thither brought and how. Not distant far from thence, a murmuring sound of waters issued from a cave and spread into a liquid plain, then stood unmoved, pure as the expanse of heaven. I thither went with unexperienced thought and laid me down on the green bank to look into the clear, smooth lake that to me seemed another sky. As I bent down to look, just opposite, a shape within the watery gleam appeared, bending to look on me. I started back. It started back. But pleased, I soon returned. Pleased, it returned, as soon, with answering looks of sympathy and love. There I had fixed mine eyes till now, and pined with vain desire, had not a voice thus warned me. What thou seest, what there thou seest, fair creature, is thyself. With thee it came and goes. But follow me, and I will bring thee where no shadow stays thy coming and thy soft embraces. He whose image thou art, him thou shalt enjoy inseparably thine, to him shalt bear multitudes like thyself, and thence be called mother of human race. What could I do but follow straight, invisibly thus led, till I espied thee, fair indeed and tall under a platan, yet methought less fair, less winning soft, less amiably mild than that smooth watery image. Back I turned. Thou, following, cried'st aloud, Return, fair Eve, whom fliest thou? Whom thou fliest of him thou art, his flesh, his bone, to give thee being I lent out of my side to thee, nearest my heart, substantial life, to have thee by my side, henceforth an individual solace dear. Part of my soul I seek thee, and thee claim my other half. With that thy gentle hand seized mine, I yielded. And from that time see how beauty is excelled by manly grace and wisdom, which alone is truly fair. So spake our general mother, and with eyes of conjugal attraction unreproved and meek surrender, half embracing, leaned on our first father, half her swelling breast naked met his under the flowing gold of her loose tresses hid. He, in delight both of her beauty and submissive charms, smiled with superior love, as Jupiter on Juno smiles when he emprains the clouds that shed May flowers, and pressed her matron lip with kisses pure. Aside the devil turned for envy, yet with jealous leer malign eyed them askance, and to himself thus plained, Sight hateful, sight tormenting, thus these two imparadised in one another's arms, the happier Eden, shall enjoy their fill of bliss on bliss, while I to hell am thrust, where neither joy nor love, but fierce desire, among our other torments not the least, still unfulfilled with pain of longing pines. Yet let me not forget what I have gained from their own mouths. All is not theirs, it seems. One fatal tree there stands, of knowledge called, forbidden them to taste. Knowledge forbidden? Suspicious, reasonless. Why should their lord envy them that? Can it be sin to know? Can it be death? And do they only stand by ignorance? Is that their happy state? The proof of their obedience and their faith? Oh, fair foundation laid whereon to build their ruin. Hence I will excite their minds with more desire to know, and to reject envious commands invented with design to keep them low, whom knowledge might exalt equal with gods. Aspiring to be such, they taste and die. What likelier can ensue? But first, with narrow search, I must walk round this garden, and no corner leave unspied. A chance, but chance, may lead where I may meet some wandering spirit of heaven by fountain side, or in thick shade retired, from him to draw what further would be learnt. Live while ye may, yet happy pair. Enjoy till I return short pleasures, for long woes are to succeed. So saying, his proud step he scornful turned, but with sly circumspection, and began through wood, through waste, o'er hill, o'er dale, his roam. Meanwhile, in utmost longitude, where heaven with earth and ocean meets, the setting sun slowly descended, and with right aspect against the eastern gate of paradise leveled his evening rays. It was a rock of alabaster, piled up to the clouds, conspicuous far, winding with one ascent accessible from earth, one entrance high. The rest was craggy cliff that overhung still as it rose, impossible to climb. Betwixt these rocky pillars Gabriel sat, chief of the angelic guards, awaiting night. About him exercised heroic games the unarmed youth of heaven. But nigh at hand, celestial armory, shields, helms, and spears, hung high with diamond flaming and with gold. Thither came Uriel, gliding through the even on a sunbeam, swift as a shooting star in autumn thwarts the night when vapors fired impress the air and shows the mariner from what point of his compass to beware impetuous winds. He thus began in haste, Gabriel, to thee thy course by lot hath given charge and strict watch that to this happy place no evil thing approach or enter in. This day at height of noon came to my sphere a spirit, zealous as he seemed, to know more of the Almighty's works, and chiefly man, God's latest image. I described his way, bent all on speed, and marked his airy gait. But in the mount that lies from Eden north, where he first lighted, soon discerned his looks alien from heaven, with passions foul obscured. Mine eye pursued him still, but under shade lost sight of him. One of the banished crew, I fear, hath ventured from the deep to raise new troubles. Him thy care must be to find. To whom the winged warrior thus returned, Uriel! No wonder if thy perfect sight amid the sun's bright circle where thou sitst see far and wide. In at this gate none pass the vigilance here placed, but such as come well known from heaven, and since meridian hour no creature thence. If spirit of other sort so minded have o'erleaped these earthy bounds on purpose, hard thou knowest it to exclude spiritual substance with corporeal bar. But if within the circuit of these walks, in whatsoever shape he lurk of whom thou tell'st, by morrow dawning I shall know. Now had night measured with her shadowy cone halfway uphill this vast sublunar vault, and from their ivory port the cherubim, forth issuing at the accustomed hour, stood armed to their night watches in warlike parade, when Gabriel, to his next in power, thus spake, Raziel, half these draw off, and coast the south with strictest watch. These other wheel the north. Our circuit meets full west. As flame they part, half wheeling to the shield, half to the spear. From these two strong and subtle spirits he called, that near him stood, and gave them thus in charge. Ithuriel and Zephon, with winged speed search through this garden. Leave unsearched no nook. But chiefly where those two fair creatures lodge, now laid perhaps asleep, secured of harm. This evening from the sun's decline arrived who tells of some infernal spirit scene, hitherward bent, who could have thought, escaped the bars of hell, on errand bad, no doubt. Such where ye find, seize fast and hither bring. So saying, on he led his radiant files, dazzling the moon. These to the bower, direct, in search of whom they sought. Him there they found, squat like a toad, close at the ear of Eve, essaying by his devilish art to reach the organs of her fancy, and with them forge illusions as he list, phantasms and dreams, or if, inspiring venom, he might taint the animal spirits that from pure blood arise like gentle breaths from rivers pure, thence raise at least distempered, discontented thoughts, vain hopes, vain aims, inordinate desires, blown up with high conceits engendering pride. Him thus intent, ethereal with his spear touched lightly, for no falsehood can endure a touch of celestial temper, but returns a force to its own likeness. Up he starts, discovered and surprised, as when a spark lights on a heap of nitrous powder, laid fit for the ton, some magazine to store against a rumored war, the smutty grain with sudden blaze diffused inflames the air, so started up in his own shape the fiend. Back stepped those two fair angels, half amazed, so sudden to behold the grisly king. Yet thus, unmoved with fear, accost him soon. Which of those rebel spirits, adjudged to hell, comest thou? Escaped thy prison and transformed. Why sat'st thou like an enemy in wait, here watching at the head of these that sleep? Know ye not, then said Satan, filled with scorn, know ye not me? Ye knew me once, no mate for you, there sitting where ye durst not soar. Not to know me argues yourselves unknown, the lowest of your throng. Or if ye know, why ask ye? And superfluous begin your message, like to end as much in vain. To whom thus Zephon, answering scorn with scorn, think not, revolted spirit, thy shape the same, or undiminished brightness, to be known as when thou stoodst in heaven upright and pure. That glory then, when thou no more wast good, departed from thee, and thou resemblest now thy sin and place of doom, obscure and foul. But come, for thou be sure shalt give account to him who sent us, whose charge is to keep this place inviolable, and these from harm. So spake the cherub, and his grave rebuke, severe in youthful beauty, added grace invincible. Abashed the devil stood, and felt how awful goodness is, and saw virtue in her shape how lovely, saw and pined his loss, but chiefly to find here observed his luster visibly impaired, yet seemed undaunted. If I must contend, said he, best with the best, the sender, not the sent, or all at once, more glory will be won, or else be lost. Thy fear, said Zephon bold, will save us trial what the least can do, single against thee wicked, and thence weak. The fiend replied not, overcome with rage, but like a proud steed reined, went haughty on, champing his iron curb. To strive or fly he held it vain, or from above had quelled his heart, not else dismayed. Now drew they nigh the western point, where those half-rounding guards just met, and closing stood in squadron joined, awaiting next command. To whom their chief, Gabriel, from the front thus called aloud, O friends, I hear the tread of nimble feet hasting this way, and now by glimpse discern Ethereal and Zephon through the shade, and with them comes a third of regal port, but faded splendor wan, who by his gait and fierce demeanor seems the prince of hell, not likely to part hence without contest. Stand firm, for in his look defiance lowers. He scarce had ended when those two approached, and brief related whom they brought, where found, how busied, in what form and posture couched. To whom with stern regard thus Gabriel spake, Why hast thou, Satan, broke the bounds prescribed to thy transgressions, and disturbed the charge of others, who approve not to transgress by thy example, but have power and right to question thy bold entrance on this place? employed, it seems, to violate sleep and those whose dwelling God hath planted here in bliss. To whom thus Satan, with contemptuous brow, Gabriel, thou hadst in heaven the esteem of wise, and such I held thee. But this question asked puts me in doubt. Lives there who loves his pain? Who would not, finding way, break loose from hell, though thither doomed? Thou wouldst thyself, no doubt, and boldly venture to whatever place farthest from pain, where thou mightst hope to change torment with ease, and soonest recompense dole with delight, which in this place I sought. To thee no reason, who knowest only good, but evil hast not tried. And wilt object his will who bound us? Let him surer bar his iron gates, if he intends our stay in that dark durance. Thus much what was asked. The rest is true. They found me where they say. But that implies not violence or harm. Thus he in sworn. The warlike angel moved, disdainfully half smiling, thus replied, But wherefore thou alone? Wherefore with thee came not all hell broke loose? Is pain to them less pain, less to be fled? Or thou than they less hardy to endure? Courageous chief, the first in flight from pain, hadst thou alleged to thy deserted host this cause of flight, thou surely hadst not come sole fugitive. To which the fiend thus answered, frowning stern, Not that I less endure or shrink from pain, insulting angel. Well thou knowest I stood thy fiercest, when in battle to thy aid thy blasting volleyed thunder made all speed, and seconded thy else not dreaded spear. But still thy words at random, as before, argue thy inexperience what behooves from hard essays and ill successes past a faithful leader. Not to hazard all, through ways of danger by himself untried. I, therefore, I alone first undertook to wing the desolate abyss and spy this new created world, whereof in hell fame is not silent, here in hope to find better abode, and my afflicted powers to settle here on earth or in mid-air, though for possession put to try once more what thou and thy gay legions dare against. Whose easier business were to serve their Lord high up in heaven, with songs to him his throne, and practice distances to cringe, not fight. To whom the warrior angel soon replied, To say and straight unsay, pretending first wise to fly pain, professing next the spy, argues no leader, but a liar traced Satan. And couldst thou, faithful lad, O sacred name of faithfulness profaned, faithful to whom? To thy rebellious crew? Army of fiends, fit body to fit head. Was this your discipline and faith engaged, your military obedience, to dissolve allegiance to the acknowledged power supreme? And thou sly hypocrite, who now would seem patron of liberty, who more than thou once fawned and cringed and servilely adored heaven's awful monarch? Wherefore, but in hope to dispossess him and thyself to reign? But mark what I read thee now. Avaunt! Fly thither whence thou fledst. If from this hour within these hallowed limits thou appear, Back to the infernal pit I drag thee chained and seal thee so, as henceforth not to scorn the facile gates of hell too slightly barred. So threatened he, but Satan to no threats gave heed, but waxing more in rage replied, Then when I am thy captive, talk of chains, proud limitary cherub, but ere then far heavier load thyself expect to feel from my prevailing arm, Though heaven's king ride on thy wings, and thou with thy compeers, used to the yoke, drawest his triumphant wheels in progress through the road of heaven star-paved. While thus he spake, the angelic squadron bright turned fiery red, sharpening in mooned horns their phalanx, and began to hem him round with ported spears, as thick as when a field of Ceres ripe for harvest, waving bends her bearded grove of ears, which way the wind sways them. On the other side, Satan alarmed, collecting all his might, dilated stood, like Tenerife or Atlas unremoved. His stature reached the sky, and on his crest sat horror plumed, nor wanted in his grasp what seemed both spear and shield. Now dreadful deeds might have ensued, nor only paradise in this commotion, but the starry cope of heaven, perhaps, or all the elements at least had gone to rack, disturbed and torn with violence of this conflict, had not soon the Eternal, to prevent such horrid fray, hung forth in heaven his golden scales, yet seen betwixt Astrea and the Scorpion sign, wherein all things created first he weighed, the pendulous round earth with balanced air in counterpoise, now ponders all events, battles and realms. In these he put two weights, the sequel each of parting and of fight. The latter quick up flew and kicked the beam, which Gabriel spying thus bespake the fiend. Satan, I know thy strength, and thou knowest mine. Neither our own, but given. What folly then to boast what arms can do, since thine no more than heaven permits, nor mine, though doubled now to trample thee as mire. For proof look up, and read thy lot in yon celestial sign where thou art weighed, and shown how light, how weak, if thou resist. The fiend looked up, and knew his mounted scale aloft, no more, but fled murmuring, and with him fled the shades of night.